Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time, conversations with women in the TV world about how they got there and managed to stick it out in a challenging industry dominated by men. Today I speak to Reshmin Chowdhury, a freelance football broadcaster who can be seen hosting and interviewing on BT Sport and the BBC, to name a couple. If you're listening to this podcast with a view to getting into sports journalism, of course there are so many wonderful things we can say about it, but one of my key aims for this series is to speak about the unspoken. And so that's where we began this episode. Let's start then with the brutal truth about this industry. What do you think is the one thing that needs telling?
That nothing comes easy, that you need a thick skin, that there is a lot of who you know. I mean, that's three things, but they're all very major things. And it's a very important aspect of this industry. It was very, I mean, certainly when you and I would have started out, it was a very closed door kind of industry. It really was. Do you know anyone who could get you in? Is there a friend of a friend who you have working in the media? For me, that wasn't the case. I mean, it sounds really stereotypical, but I know plenty of doctors, I know plenty of lawyers, I know plenty of accountants who could help me in any emergency, but I didn't know anyone in media.
Sorry, this is the thing, Reshmin, and it's very important to say there is a lack of diversity. It's definitely getting better at the moment. But when you first started out in it, I'd imagine that was a massive glass ceiling for you to break.
Oh, completely, because there wasn't anybody doing the job. So for me, in terms of role models, there was no one. And even the females, the handful of females that were there, were not females that I could relate to. We didn't have the same background. You know, in some cases it was, oh, my dad was a footballer, or I, you know, grew up in the countryside, wherever. It was very, very different. We might have had similar educational backgrounds, for example, but the pathway that was open was never the same. I think just having the role models and also changing perceptions, I think, was a big thing for me. I think in terms of Asian women, I think it was only Karthiana Seagram, who was working as a sports reporter at BBC London at the time. And then I sort of came into sports broadcasting as well. And, you know, sometimes people think, oh, she's only there because she ticks a box. Oh, is she only there because she looks a certain way and she, oh, because she, you know, whatever it might be, people would have a perception of how you may have grown up.
I'm pleased Reshmin mentioned this box ticking. Unfortunately, it's something that's hurled at women in general, so I can't imagine how it must be being an Asian woman who's earned her stripes, doing the hard yards in the industry, being accused of filling a quota. I get it all the time. Tokenism gone mad, they say. I thought I understood what it felt like to be a minority, but hearing Reshmin's experience made me realise I was far from it.
Our industry is very white. Our industry is very, oh, let's go here and then all go for a drink after work. I would happily go for a drink after work, but I don't drink myself. So, I mean, I've grown up feeling very, very comfortable in my duality of cultures. You know, I'm very British, I'm very Bengali, I'm also Muslim. So I've sort of embraced all of that since I was younger. So I never had any issues sort of being around drunk. I used to find it funny. It was part of what I did. I grew up doing that, going out with friends who might be, you know, very different to me doing what they do. But what I have found, and I'll be really honest about it, is that you do lose that identity. You lose your cultural identity in this industry a little bit. You know, I think naturally in life, as second generation, you do kind of pull away from what you've grown up with around your parents. But I think being in such a white dominated industry, you do lose that little bit. You don't lose it completely. It's still you, but it doesn't come out. So, you know, I'm very like proudly Bengali, but who am I going to shout about it to in my industry? You know, no one, there's nothing about that that comes out in my way of work. And it probably happens in a lot of industries, but I do think that it has been so one uniform culture. You don't have it. You don't embrace it. You don't see it. And identity is a big issue, because I'm proud of my heritage, but, you know, it's not at the forefront. Not that it has to be at the forefront of anything, but it isn't important, I think, in British media, or it hasn't been up until now. And I think it should be. I think everyone should be able to be authentic in the way that they want to be. But I think there's a lot of sort of barriers to that in British media, I think.
It's so interesting Reshmin mentioned this. In the first series of Talent Takes Time, I've interviewed 12 people from the industry, and I was so proud that the first five of them were women. I'd completely forgotten that aside from Reshmin, they were all white. What TV companies were looking for was reflecting the boardrooms rather than what we see on the pitch. But it doesn't make sense.
Do you feel that you had to take more twists and turns and diversions to get to where you wanted to be?
God, absolutely. Because there was nothing open. I think, you know, when, you know, we're similar age, when we started, there was no Twitter or Instagram where you could instantly find out who you needed to contact to get somewhere. I was one of those. I was very, very conscientious, very kind of driven and determined to do what I wanted to do. So I would pick up the phone, I'd call up the company, who's the executive producer for this? Or I'd watch programs and look at the credits at the end and think, right, that's the person I need to speak to. I'd call up the company, get their email address, send them an email, hear nothing back, pick up the phone, call them. You know, I was very, very sort of pushy in the sense that, you know, I wanted to open the doors, and that was the only way to open them. I think now it's very, very different. People are much more accessible than they used to be then. And certainly, yeah, I definitely did lots of different types of jobs. I call them sort of stepping stones. I always think that nothing is a waste if it's kind of in a related area and you're picking up skills. I think it always helps you later on down the line. You might not know in what way at the time, but certainly sort of later on you sort of find out that, oh yeah, well, when I did that, oh, I have been in this environment before and I know how to apply this knowledge in this situation. I just didn't realize it at the time. So I definitely think that for me, I mean, I studied politics, right? Politics and economics. And when I graduated, all my friends went into really good sort of graduate jobs. And I started off as a runner at Princess Productions, and my dad could not deal with it. My dad, the accountant, was like, my mum, the teacher, were just like, oh my God, how are you earning half the amount that your friends are earning? Why are you buying rubbish to go on a set that you're not even sitting on and you're doing all this? I'm like, what on earth are you doing? And, you know, it was so when I finally decided to sort of move into the journalism side, I did a sort of postgraduate, but on my mum's advice, actually, she said, I think you should get a qualification so you can move into something that you actually enjoy, you know, want to do more of. And so once I did that, I naturally fell into sort of news.
Reshmin speaks for so many when she talks about the pressures from friends and parents. But remember the story of the hare and the tortoise? Slow and steady wins the race. Earning potential from different jobs is not on the same trajectory. I found the same situation with many of my friends working for banks. Meanwhile, I gave up a prestigious job on the news desk of a news channel to work for Shopping TV that allowed me to get on-air experience. I took a pay cut and the job was seen by so many as a lesser one, but you have to believe in the long game.
I definitely, definitely took many, many twists and turns. I mean, before I worked in broadcasting, I did a job where I basically lived an expat life for a year, five different countries, traveling the world, meeting and interviewing amazing people from heads of states to, you know, big CEOs of big companies. And all of that helps because it's all putting you in different environments. So like I said, you don't know what you're picking up at the time, but later on, it helps.
It's only when you look back on these experiences, you realise how important they were. By interviewing all the CEOs and heads of state, Reshmin will not be flustered when speaking with sports governing bodies and being involved in the more political side of sport. Patience is key.
I want to talk about sacrifice because there's plenty of it, whether it's giving up your Friday nights, going out with your mates, whether it's leaving small children at home, as you've done. What do you think? Oh, even going to work for Eldred TV, moving to another country. Sacrifice is monumental, but it does always seem to lead to a reward. What's your attitude towards the sacrifices you've made?
I think it was, I sort of embraced it very early on because I realised what I wanted to do. And when I was still doing my degree, so I studied at the University of Bath and I had a year in industry. And at that time I worked at Reuters News and we were doing sort of 12-hour shifts, morning and evening, on this sort of rotation pattern. And it was working on their news help desk. And it was, that was my biggest sort of baptism of fire into what this industry would be like. Because at university, you're doing 12 hours of lectures a day and suddenly you're working 12 hours, you know, in one shift and also day and night and weekends, and bank holidays and all of that. So it kind of got me in that, in the zone at that stage already. But I think the sacrifice comes with it. If you want to achieve something, if you want to get somewhere, you're going to have to sacrifice something. The hardest sacrifice has been leaving small children behind to do the job. And you know, that's with BT Sport going off to do, you know, Champions League and things. That has been the hardest, blood, sweat and tears for sure.
Reshmin has recently expanded on this topic. It's something that men and women experience, but I know for women it's an extra burden because they don't want to fuel the stereotypes that already exist. I've worked in this career both with children and without, and I feel so lucky that I was a Champions League reporter for many years before I had children, so I was able to enjoy those trips and spend a few days taking in the culture and doing features around the games. Little thought is given to a reporter's schedule, and so if you want to succeed, it's important to understand the realities. One of my longest seasons was 2015-16. Leicester had won the Premier League title against all the odds, and I'd followed their season closely, many drives from London up the M1. After the season ended, it was straight to France for 6 weeks for the Euros. I returned for a few days with the family before flying to LA to host a series of pre-season games for ESPN before flying to New York for the start of the new season. And then repeat. Of course, it's a pleasure and a privilege, but it's tricky to juggle all of that around a family. Equally, it's not worth scheduling family planning around work because, as one of my previous guests, Jackie Oatley, explains, this industry will not reward you for it.
I know there's loads of pieces of advice you could give people, but is there one key piece of advice that you think is crucial if you want to get into this industry?
I can only go by how I've been in my, or how I live my life, I guess, but I think I would say stay humble. I think it's really, really important to never get above your stations, to, like, as I say, never see yourself above anyone, below anyone. You are you, and be confident in who you are. Don't ever try and change that. Don't try to conform just because that's what you think you should be doing. You've got to be yourself. You've got to be authentic. I think that's a really, really big piece of advice I would give. And as I say, humble, I think, comes with it because, you know, for example, when you start out, I've met and often heard of young, you know, sort of someone who's come straight out of university saying, oh, I don't want to do that job. And you think, just do it. You just don't know. You can't dismiss something as being not good enough for you, especially when you're starting out. You've just got to be humble at every single stage of the journey and appreciate your journey at every single stage. And it's not easy because there are times when you will get the knockbacks and the rejections come and you think, oh my God, and then what's going to happen next? But what you find in this industry, the magic of it is, as you know, Ali, that there's always something else around the corner that you have no idea is there. Something always happens, something always turns up, and it's sort of embracing that uncertainty but being your true self, I think, all the way through. I think people respect you more when you are you.
I just wonder if you've learned any lessons from actually being in the sport, because we're surrounded by so many inspirational people, managers and players, yeah, on a daily basis.
Yeah, oh, completely. I think that is sort of one of my biggest takeaways, actually, from being in this working environment, because you are around top level athletes, you're around high achievers all the time. And I think what that instilled in me, in so many ways, is just that constant search to be better, self-improvement. I know it sounds crazy. I mean, you know, I work with someone like Cristiano Ronaldo for years now, but I think from the day I met him to even now, when you see him, he's someone who is, he's always looking to improve, to always be better than he was in his last match, always looking to get to that next level and has aims. And for me, he is such a source of inspiration. I know, like, I'm going really to the top here, but you watch someone like that and it inspires you in your career. And I think those are such big lessons to learn for anyone who's looking to get into this industry, because as I said before, nothing comes easy, nothing.
Reshmin is right. There is always something around the corner. When I recorded this series, it was lockdown and football had been stopped by the government. Our seemingly bulletproof industry had gone up in smoke, and myself and so many of my colleagues had little or no work. But little did I know that at the end of lockdown, I would be one of the few journalists allowed back into the stadium, and my reporting would be more crucial than ever, with fans unable to witness it for themselves. And my little IGTV series would be made into a podcast. The same lessons I was preaching about just doing it, creating and trusting in the process, I was witnessing with my own eyes. And by helping others, somehow I was helping myself in the process. That's it from the 3 T's, Talent Takes Time. I'll see you soon. Talent Takes Time is presented by me, Alison Bender. The series producer is Gary Hayes, and Matt Alabaster has produced all our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. If you'd like to know more about my career in the media, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at AliBenderTV. You can also sign up to my website, alisonbender.com, for more information on getting into the media industry. This has been a production for the Highway 61 Network.